With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yo, hour number two. What's happening? Busy Tuesday. Hopefully you're doing well. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, as we always are, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. And as always, we are hanging inside of our studio, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket Kent. Many ways to get in touch with the show. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. That's at Tiki and Tierney. 855-212-4227. You know, I do think I'm just gonna bring something to the table here.
Go ahead.
That's not on the rundown. I throw it by the crew. Obviously, start with my guy Teak, and we'll see if we maybe do a little midstream change here.
Go ahead.
We never take calls. Mm-hmm. We never ask for them.
No.
We never ask for them. Now, part of the problem with calls is that a lot of them are terrible. I mean, they are.
Samter, what'd you just say?
I said, I already vote no.
Well, because you have to actually do some work and pick up the phone and get off your behind and get off Amazon.
Amazon? What do you think? I'm ordering,
well,
like...
No, I'm trying to keep it clean. If I tell everybody what you're really on, you might get fired. Just kidding, Mike. Just kidding, buddy.
And honestly, just kidding.
So, you know, I do like taking calls. Mm-hmm. I really do. I know it's... I think there's too many shows out there that rely on calls, which mm-hmm. is one thing we'll never do. I mean, you've got to structure the show. You've got to have things to say, which we take great pride in. We love talking. We love setting up topics. I love developing topics. And listen, quite frankly, there's challenging days where it doesn't hit you in the head, where it's not necessarily, yep, all right, boom, boom, boom. You've got to get a little creative. And those days are fun as well. And that's where the staff, the four of us, really, you know, really get down in the trenches and come up with what we come up with. But I'm not even saying every day. I would like to inject some callers into the show. I really think that it could be good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his vote doesn't count, so I don't care what he says.
We used to take a lot of calls.
There was a point where we did.
When we were in the morning, in particular.
That's true. We did take a lot of calls in the morning. We did.
It's people waking up. They mm-hmm. want to talk sports. They're hearing it probably for the first time.
Yep.
Unless they stayed up late and watched games and things of that nature. Our opinions were the first opinions that they were getting about mm-hmm. it. So it just elicited a different reaction.
Like, yep,
it makes you want to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah, it's a different energy. You know, it's obviously a bit of a different exchange. And again, I'm not saying we do 3 hours of phone calls here, but, you know, it does... It does add a little wrinkle that I've always enjoyed in my career, and there are times I miss it. You know, mm-hmm. I don't even really think about it anymore, but for some reason I just gave out the phone number, and I'm like, well, I don't even know why I gave out the phone number, but I'm going to actually back this thing up and flush this out on air a little bit here. And what do you think? I mean, is this a little bit of a new show mandate to incorporate some calls? You down or what?
We just got to do it more often. I mean,
what I'm saying.
When you host individually, when I'm out, or I host individually while you're out, we tend to say it more.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I don't ever think about us when it's just us two.
Yeah.
When we're both here.
Yeah.
I never hear the number.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, yeah. I never say it.
Exactly right.
I never say it. I don't even
look at it, really.
No.
So you just said that.
So you think you'd be down for a little, even if it's a 2 week experiment.
Yes.
Now, but again, here's the issue. Again, a lot of the calls stink. A lot of the calls are repetitive. A lot of the calls, I'm just being honest, a lot of the calls are boring. A lot of the calls actually stop the flow of the show. Mm. You know, it takes 4 seconds. Joe's in Dallas. Joe. Joe, you there? Mike in Albany. Well,
that's why Samter's job is hard, because he's got a screen to make sure we have good callers on the other side.
That's why I contend that my vote counts the most.
Stu Getz, you're new to the show. You've worked on other shows. Our show is different from other shows, just like their show is different from ours. Squeeze in a few calls, weave in a few calls, or no? What's your vote?
For an afternoon show, afternoon national show, I'd say no.
Why? Mm. Well, I want to know the reason. And again, it doesn't matter what you guys say. We're still going to do it, but I'm just curious.
I just think it fits better at like nighttime national, daytime national.
Why, you're not telling me why.
I think the listener during the day, listener to a national show, wants to hear the host's opinions more than a caller's opinions.
So you're basically saying, without saying it, that the afternoon drive voices are just more talented than the night show, because you just said that the callers want to hear what we have to say more so than the night call.
You could extrapolate that from his statement.
Very easily. That's what he said without saying it.
I appreciate the compliment, Stu. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know what? Hey, listen, we'll try it. We'll mess around. We'll have a little fun. Hopefully, if you guys don't hold up your end of the bargain, that's it. We pull the plug right away. We're not wasting time with bad calls. But at some point this week, we'll weave a few in. We'll do a little experimental phase. Nothing crazy. Don't worry, Samther. You're not going to actually have to work too hard. Don't worry. It's in your little union contract. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Matt Nagy might want to call us for advice. Mm-hmm. But lucky for Matt Nagy, we're not going to wait for the call. We're going to actually tell him what to do.
Just going to give it to him.
We're going to give it to him. Unsolicited. Matt Nagy needs to show more control in how he deciphers what he emits pertaining to the quarterback situation. And I don't mean necessarily who takes the lion's share of the snaps. That's obviously one part of the conversation. But when they ask you questions, you need to have more than this.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your star? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
What?
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Okay, now, Matt Nagy got knocked around a lot earlier for that. I will back him up in this regard, and I know that you know this. Yeah. What he's really telling people there is, hey, listen, it's very much associated with scheme, because if Justin Fields is playing, defense is going to have to react to an athlete versus Andy Dalton, stuck in mud for the most part.
They're going to practice zone reads and RPOs and all those other things. The threat of the run, whereas with Andy Dalton, I mean, maybe he can token fake and play action, but there's no threat that he's actually running the football.
Well, the one time he ran out of the pocket, he almost busted up his MCL.
That's right. I mean, that's what happens, though, when you're 30, what's he, 33, 32 or 33, whatever.
I think he's older than that now, Andy,
He might actually be, because he and Andy Dalton had at least a decade. So maybe you might be right, BT.
You know, he was with Dallas, now he's on another team.
Right.
He's probably 33, 34.
So when you're that age, you're just not a threat to run. A young quarterback who's just out of college, who made his hay in some regards by escaping pressure and running with the football. Hell, he did it last weekend when he came in for Andy Dalton, who was injured, hurt his knee. Some of his best plays, I mean, maybe you could even say his best plays, were when he would pick up first downs on third or second long and scramble and just run through tackles. The dude's got a lower body like a running back. Like, his thighs and butt are thick. Like, he can run through tackles. And so if you're a defensive coordinator, that scares you. If he's the starting quarterback and he's been practicing, you know, to be the starter all week, and they put in those things that he's comfortable with.
Yep.
I mean, one of the things that I think he struggled with last weekend, BT, Justin Fields, is that when Andy went down, the game plan was for Andy, right? And there's those are things that concepts that he hasn't really learned. And if he has learned them, he hasn't repped them enough to not think about them. Mm-hmm. And so you end up making mistakes, including that interception. But, I mean, that was a tricky interception. But still, you're going to see mistakes if he has to play in a system that's asking him to do things that he's not comfortable in. And so if you're the Bears, you want that to last until the last possible minute. Make them worry about against the Bengals. I mean, this is last weekend. They played the Bengals last weekend. Make them worry about who the quarterback is going to be, as opposed to giving them a heads up on who's going to be under center on Sunday.
But
I get that.
Yeah, no, I do too, and that's why I defend him in that regard. But where's the true value lie in projecting, you know, confidence in somebody that will possibly galvanize a locker room and create some consistency, or being evasive with a reporter that, let's face it, anytime you play the Chicago Bears, unless you're completely inept, the week leading up to the preparation, you're going to do some sub packages in case Justin Fields plays.
Of course.
No one's going to neglect that. So it's not like it's going to change radically. And it's going to be, is that the kid from Ohio State? It looks like him. Oh, he's fast? Whoa, what do we do? No.
Yeah.
Look, everybody scouted him out of Ohio State.
By the way, I think that's part of the reason that Kyle Shanahan with the San Francisco 49ers did not give Trey Lance any snaps. So we saw the Trey Lance snap.
We'll get into that next hour, just
in,
so you know.
In week one, I know, but okay. it's related. So you might as well bring it up now. The reason that Trey Lance got snaps in week one is so that now every team going forward for at least the next month are going to have to look at these Trey Lance snaps of the 49ers offensively. They're gonna say, well, if Trey Lance is in the game, you got to be ready for this, 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 and this, and that takes away practice time from preparing for what Jimmy Garoppolo does. And so by Kyle Shanahan not playing Trey Lance at all, whoever they're playing next week, and I wish I had it in front of me. I don't have it in front of me. But whoever the 49ers are playing next week.
I think they're playing a pretty good team.
They are.
I started looking this morning.
They're playing the Packers.
Yeah, they're playing a good team.
So now the Packers are going to be in their mind saying, all right, are we preparing for Trey Lance or are we not preparing for Trey Lance? Because we saw him in week one. He didn't get a snap in week two. And it's subtle and it's nothing really, but it is something. Right, it's like a defense, and I remember going through this, in my career when the Bear defense was a big deal.
Oh, the 4-6.
Yeah, exactly. Where there was, all three defensive linemen are covered, interior offensive linemen are covered, the guard, center, guard are covered. You put a man right over top of the tight end, and then there's two edge rushers outside of them, and then two linebackers. Like if you see the Bear, you're like, oh crap, right? Especially when it was run heavy. And all the team had to do was do it once, and now we had to prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a different calculus when you show something that you're only going to use intermittently because a team has to prepare for it.
Interesting thought. I'm certainly not disagreeing. I've got a totally different theory, though. We could actually both be right. I'll save my theory for coming up 5 Eastern when we'll get into that a little bit more. But here's what I don't like what the Bears are doing. What they're projecting is incredibly inconsistent. Yeah. This is the same franchise that sent out the ridiculous QB1 tweet, all right? On some level, at least, perceptually had to walk it back because now, Justin Fields is there, even though they didn't walk it back. But we all know that eventually they're going to because Fields is going to play. They've offered unwavering support for Andy Dalton. And he was asked a very benign question. If he's healthy, is Andy Dalton the starter? So everything leading up to this point, it's been supporting Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton has played well. Before he got hurt, Tiki, he was 9-for-11.
Yeah.
And he played pretty well in week one, too.
That's right.
So to me, it's inconsistent. And I think if I'm a veteran, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that I thought this coming into the season because I'm not a huge Dalton fan. If I'm a veteran on the Bears right now, watching Justin Fields throw the ball and process, I want Andy Dalton to play.
Interesting.
Right now, I do.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is not ready.
No.
And unlike the Jets, and unlike the Jaguars, the Bears' defense is top 3 or 4 in the NFL, and you can steal some wins if your quarterback has a clue as to what he's doing. And I don't think Fields is ready for that. So if I'm a defender, even an offensive lineman, if I want to win now, I'm a veteran, I would want Dalton to play for at least another month or so. And, Nagy just swung and missed.
Yeah.
It was weak. It was like there was no presence from the head coach there.
Yeah. And again, there doesn't necessarily need to be a presence from the head coach at that point.
But you prefer that there is.
Of course, because it makes you feel like there's a plan and he's going to be okay with it.
Yep.
Regardless of what happens. Look, I don't think that Andy Dalton is playing this week. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and obviously I wasn't even at the game. I saw it on tape. But when you have a non-contact injury, and they showed it in slow motion, and it had that telltale, like muscle shimmy,
a little side to side,
little shuff, like little whatever it was.
I saw it,
and I don't know what it was. It wasn't the Achilles. It wasn't the ACL.
I think it's the MCL.
It's probably the MCL or the LCL, whichever one, because they both converge in the back. So maybe if that one snapped, medial or lateral collateral ligament, it shimmies the calf like that. But I mean, he tried to come back, didn't work.
No.
He left immediately. So, to me, Justin Fields is starting this week against the Green Bay Packers. The question is, how much of the offense is he gonna put in, and does he grow from that, this experience? I think the answer is yes, and so I don't think there's lose-lose here. I think it's win-win for Chicago because their defense is so good, they'll be okay. And if their defense is bad, then Aaron Rodgers just lights them up, then that's just Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers.
But if the defense is really good and Fields doesn't play well, I think the shade of gray where it could be bad is for Justin Fields. Like, oof, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see what it looks like without competent quarterback play. Andy, get healthy, you're back in.
Trial by fire.
Well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll see. I mean, you and I are both big Justin Fields fans, but he's looked wobbly, and he looks like he's swimming for now, and that's to be expected. It's not a knock on the young man. He's going to be terrific.
He's a rookie.
Yep. All right, T, coming up. Wow, we broke right on time. How about that? 15 and 11 seconds. That is perfection. And the reason why we did that, 76ers need to resolve this, and they need to resolve this in the next day or so. Camp starts in 10 days. Ben Simmons says, I'm not showing up. No matter what you do, I'm not coming to play for. I have played my last second as a Sixer. Chicken, a game of it. Who's gonna flinch first? We'll get to that coming up next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Tiki and Tierney. Sixers have issues here. First of all, they're not even with Ben Simmons, they're not remotely good enough to win a championship. At least that's the way it's been proven out over the last couple of years on the court. And now, Ben Simmons ain't showing up. I don't know what they think is going to happen when training camp opens up in 10 days. But Ben...
Nothing good, man.
Exactly. Is not showing. As per the latest report from agent Wojnarowski, he said he is dug into the sand and he's not budging. He is an ex-Sixer. His intention is to not play another second for Philly. And, you know, we've seen situations in the past where guys will take a hardline stance and the motivation's money. He's already got the extension.
Yeah.
This is about respect. This is about, at this point, a real disconnect to and a lack of trust, a breach of trust, I'm sure, in his mind. When Doc Rivers was asked and spoke about this after Game 7 back in late June.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, and that's all you need to hear, and that's why we're here. So, where do we go from here, man?
I mean, this is... We go to a disgruntled big star not a superstar star. He's a great defender, but not much of a scorer, not consistent of a scorer. Because I've seen him score 30, right? He can take over at the post and points against certain opponents, but when you get to the postseason, he just becomes a liability scoring wise, which is frustrating, I think, for everybody involved. And so you have a frustrated star, and you have an organization that it seems to be bumping their head on the same tripping point every season, right? You get to a certain stage in the postseason and team, whoever it is, X, figures you out and you're trying to break through, but it just you keep hitting the same thing. We don't have enough shooters. We don't have enough, post scoring. We can't find someone to make free throws, whatever it may be. It seems like they hit the same thing every time. So they need a different kind of formula. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. And so while Ben Simmons is forcing their hand, we know, BT, this is necessary for the 76ers. It's just a matter of finding the right trade partner and, you know, who's willing to get what they're at, give up what they're asking for.
Yeah.
And I think in time, the 76ers are going to have to pull back on what they're asking for because they're not going to get it. Right, we know that they're not going to get it, especially because of the leverage that Ben Simmons has pushed away from them.
No.
But also because he's just not worth what they want. You know, he's just,
I agree.
He's just
agree.
Not that guy.
No, they've got to recalibrate what they think they can really.
Yeah.
You can ask for anything that you want.
You're right.
I mean, you can come look at my home, and I could say I want $9 million for it. I'm not getting $9 million for the house. So. You can ask for the moon. You're lucky. Maybe you get a star, and maybe you make off, and you're pretty happy. And he goes his separate ways, and they become a better team. But even with a happy and engaged Ben Simmons, you're not beating the Nets. You're not beating the Bucks. I don't think you're beating the Heat. I don't think you're beating the Hawks. I think the Hawks are going to be even better this year. Hawks very easily could have played for the championship a year ago if Trae Young doesn't hurt his ankle. The Celtics seemingly are, I think, may get their act together. Tatum was really weakened with COVID a year ago for a couple of months. He was not the same player. I think they've got a little bit better roster balance now. So, you know, there's teams in the East that are right there. Now, one thing that I keep hearing is that a lot of people seem to be willing to make this swap. And I think, with all due respect, that those people are out of their minds and don't stay up late enough to watch this player play basketball. Because if you did, there's no way you would say, let's make this trade. De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons. I wouldn't trade De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons if my life depended on it. Even if you gave me back,
why?
Because De'Aaron Fox is just awesome.
Oh, you mean from the you're talking about from
Sacramento's point of view?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God!
I thought you were talking about from Philly's point of view. I'm like, dude, Philly's taking that all day.
All day. It will be a major heist. It will be criminal. Jobs should be lost if that trade was ever executed. De'Aaron Fox, I know the Kings aren't very good, and I know a lot of people haven't really seen him since college.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox has morphed into quite the outstanding NBA player. Atik, he's also the kind of attitude, Benson, and this is where I think it gets additionally problematic. Like, at least, again, this is secondhand report, never been around the guy, right? But everything that you hear is, you know, he's not the hardest worker. He's a little selfish. He's had a little issue with Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. He's not incredibly receptive to coaching, hence his slow development at the very important aspects of his game. So not only do you have a player who clearly wants out, who has these monster deficiencies that will keep you from a championship, but he's not even necessarily a great teammate or a great locker room guy.
Yeah. And again, a lot of those things tend to pop up when, I don't know, things like this happen. There's a disagreement between player and an organization. Reports say Ben Simmons isn't doing this or that, the other thing. I mean, but you could look at his growth or lack thereof and kind of extrapolate that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just not someone trying to throw shade at Ben Simmons.
It's
probably there's some truth to it. Whether it's, you know, highly truthful or just kind of moderately truthful, there is some truth to the fact that he's not putting in the work to become a better player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great defender. We know that. But what matters in the NBA is scoring. It's why this is a guard-driven league. It's why these guys who can, you know, drop 30 on you a given night or even 40 or 50 on a given night are so valuable. And I think Ben Simmons, if he could learn to shoot, score from distance, could be that player because he's such a good post player.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he's not afraid to shoot and, you know, his giving up the shot at the end, the playoffs notwithstanding, he doesn't usually do that. So I can't knock that. It's more the, like, his inability to be a scorer other than being one-dimensional. And so the question that now arises for both the 76ers and for Ben Simmons is, like, who does this benefit? If he doesn't show up for camp, who does this benefit? Right? It certainly doesn't benefit the 76ers because they're now without one of their stars and they've got nothing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it benefits Ben Simmons because it forces the 76ers' hands and ultimately he goes someplace else, even though that we don't know where that's going to be, and they pull their price down for him. But, I mean, the big loser here is the 76ers because they have a void that's not being filled by anything. If Ben Simmons does, or not if, when Ben Simmons doesn't show up for camp, and who knows how long this lasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could go all the way through camp. It could go to the start of the NBA season. Who knows, right? And it's the Sixers are the big losers here because this hasn't been managed well.
It's been managed very, very poorly. I understand, you know, you start out and Daryl Morey, you really set up, even then, an unrealistic expectation of what you can get back at a trade. Eventually, you got to budge.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, you've got to know, hey, I mean, yeah, you got to know that things have changed. You got to read the room properly.
Make it not your problem anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Make it somebody else's problem. And the only way Ben Simmons can win, now he's going to get his pocket dented, but it's apparently, based on the reports, he's fine with that. So he's really dug in. He's willing to take the heavy fines that will come with it. But the only way Simmons can win perceptually, because he'd still have to be dealt to really win,
yeah,
would be if he adheres to this mandate, this apparently self-imposed mandate, doesn't show for camp, and the Sixers start the season and they're lost.
Yeah.
Now you can say, boy, look at them now. You know, even with the deficiencies in his game, like if they're 4-9,
yeah,
which I don't think is even plausible because, yeah, of Joel Embiid if he's healthy, well, but that's the only way Simmons could really win,
yeah,
right now, short term.
Yeah, they're likely starting 5. If that should happen, would be Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
Seth Curry.
Yep.
Danny Green.
Danny Green's cooked,
he's getting
man.
Old, but
Danny
he's still
Green,
there.
Danny Green's done.
He's still there.
Danny Green cannot be a starter on a team that wins one. With all due respect, he cannot start on
well,
a championship team.
Well, that's the problem.
Team.
I mean, you're gonna start Thybulle instead? I mean, I don't know. Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid.
Okay.
And so you're right. I mean, the big void is a managing point guard. Right, and the guys they have are young. Thybulle's young.
Maxey's young.
Maxey's young. They're positioning him as a scorer. He's kind of that, but not really that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much less full team without Ben Simmons. Because as bad of a scorer as he is, he's actually a pretty good point guard.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
you miss that floor general nature of his game. If he isn't playing, and I don't, when I look at what I just read out to you, Maxey, Curry, Seth Curry, Danny Green, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid,
yeah,
I mean, where are they in the East? Third, fourth?
No, they're not. They're not third. I don't think they're a 3 seed.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
Bucks,
maybe
Heat,
fifth. Yeah,
they're not
even hosting
Celtics,
a game. That's right. They're not
maybe
even hosting
the Knicks.
A game.
Yeah.
So again, the big loser here is the 76ers if nothing happens because they got to get something valuable. For Ben Simmons. They can't go get future assets.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the other thing that makes this delicate because they're navigating this timeline and it's directly correlating with Joel Embiid's prime.
That's right.
And so, yeah.
That
you can,
intersection you yeah, always talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the intersection, yep. You can make a trade with the Warriors and get Wiseman and get two first-round picks, one of Moody, whomever, whatever you want to do. But does that elevate you to a championship contender now or next year? And my answer is no,
yes.
Because the Nets are still there, the world champion Bucks, all the teams we keep mentioning. So it would fortify the future, and it would create maybe a window of being very competitive for 10, 12, 13 years on the back end of Embiid, and then the young guys, mm-hmm. if they pop, they can take the baton. But you're not going to win a championship next year.
And if you're the 76ers or 76ers fans, you've been waiting for this. I mean, the process took a half a decade, right? And now that it's over, you've gotten a couple of years of momentum,
yep.
getting into the postseason. You got knocked out 3 years ago by Boston, and then
the Raptors.
The Raptors with the miraculous bounce, and then and then obviously last year. So it's like it's almost a decade you've
yeah.
been waiting for, and you've built it pretty well, except for one little component now.
Yeah.
And you don't want to wait another 5 years.
I wouldn't.
You want it now.
So, you're going to have to trade him. And they know it. They know it. Listen, I still think he might be a Warrior. But this team traded Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Can't trade Ben Simmons. Barkley's twice as good.
Of course.
5 times as good. All right. Ack, let's get the update. He's on top of that. Coming up after Ack's update, we've got Peter King, be nice. Chat with our buddy Peter. It's been about a month or so since Peter's been on the show. NBC Sports NFL analyst will jump around all the pertinent storylines, quarterback controversies, taunting penalties, injuries, which 0-2 teams could come back, which 2-0 teams are still a little flimsy. So we've got the great Peter King Anthrax update right now. Here's Rich.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to our buddy Peter King, throw around all the myriad topics, and there's a lot of stuff to hit. Well, NFL's popping 2 weeks in. Before we do that, the Defensive Player of the Week, first brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, Teak, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more, NavyFederal.org. Okay, so Tampa, 48-25, win over the Falcons on Sunday. How about Mike Edwards? Had two picks, both of which he returned to the house. Also added four tackles, three passes defended on the afternoon. So have a day. I'm sure that was a nice film session to sit by, as all his teammates said. Great job there, Mike. All right. We've got a lot to hit. I mean, with the ridiculous amount of flags, injuries, there's a lot going on. So Peter King, NBC Sports NFL analyst, really one of the best in the game at covering everything, is back with us. Been a little bit, but Peter, always good to have you on the show. How you been, man?
I've been great. How about you guys?
Doing awesome. Can you explain, let's start with the penalties here, the taunting. You know, I understand perception matters, and advertising dollars are paramount. That's what drives the engine. So I'm sure that the impetus behind throwing these penalties is to have a nice, clean product. I get that. But, like, behind closed doors, do you know any specific names on the committee that really push this? Because where we are right now, it's a travesty. It's impacting games. So where did this push really develop from? Where was it born out of?
I think it was born out of several people, including John Mara of the Giants last year during the season, were upset at the a lot of the stuff, the intramural squabbling on the field and the showmanship on the field that they thought got out of hand. I think the biggest problem is that if indeed there are some taunts being thrown out by players, like there was one the other day where a player got up and he spun the ball on the ground and he got a flag. Well, I was told at the beginning of the year that spinning the ball on the ground was not going to be a taunting thing, a taunting flag. However, we don't know what was said, if anything was said. So it's possible the guy gets up and starts screaming, bleepity bleep, all this stuff while spinning the ball. We just don't know. And I think it's incumbent on the NFL to say exactly what a taunting penalty is. Mm-hmm. Because right now, I think the biggest problem is, you know, there are some times where you look at it and say, man, that's over the top. But it's got to be, there has to be some discretion with officials. And they have to be able to say, spinning the ball on the ground when you get up in excitement cannot be a taunting flag. If there's something that goes along with that, if there's some, you know, some bad words being spoken or whatever, that's another thing. But I think it's incumbent on the NFL to spell out what is going to be a taunting flag, because some of them have looked absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and Peter, the problem from my standpoint is that this feels so subjective, right? It's complete. I was demonstrating the BT. If I get up and scream and I'm yelling a quarter of an inch away from him, my eyes are averted from his face, it's not taunting. If I'm looking at him in any way, then I'm taunting him.
I'm offended, TD.
It's all right. And it's, so we're trying to adjudicate emotion, and it's an emotional game. It's going to happen. This can't be dictating, you know, wins and losses, 15 yards, potential ejections if it happens twice. And the problem with the being so subjective, Peter, and this is just my take on this, is that now people are going to start saying, well, he didn't call that 2 weeks ago,
yep,
and now he's calling it this week. Maybe he just doesn't like this team, or there's some impropriety going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It creates discussion where there doesn't need to be discussion around the games.
I think the NFL has to come out right now, and they've got to make it clear. They got to make it very clear what is a taunting call, okay? What exactly is taunting? And like when they put out these officiating videos during the week, I think Walt Anderson and the officiating department right now, they need to put out a taunting video, and they need to say, this is taunting, it's not going to be allowed. And they also need to say, such and such is allowed. You know, a spun football on the ground, whatever is allowed. Because right now, I think a lot of players are out there saying, all we're doing is getting up and celebrating a play, and we're getting a flag. We're not putting it in some guy's face. So, Tiki, I think you're absolutely right. You need right now to know, without any question, what a taunting foul is. And right now, I don't think people really know.
Yeah. Nope, that's just not right. We cannot have that anymore. Hopefully they rectify this soon. So we're talking to Peter King, NBC Sports NFL analyst. Peter, right now there are six teams that are 0-2. Few we expected to be there. The Vikings, with a little bit of luck, could have a much better record. Of the teams that have yet to pick up a win, you know, we certainly didn't expect the Jets to do much, the Jaguars yet, obviously. To me, the pressure really starts to turn. That spotlight is on the Giants. With a winnable game coming up at home, they have the extra couple days because of the Thursday game with Washington. The Falcons are coming into MetLife. The Giants better win this game, Peter.
It's the only team, I think, in the NFL right now this week that has a true must-win game, because they got to beat Atlanta. It might be the softest team left on its schedule. So they've got to beat Atlanta. And everybody would say, well, geez, well, doesn't Atlanta have to beat the Giants? Atlanta's in a different situation. They got a new coach with a new GM. And to me, this is a honeymoon year for, you know, for Arthur Smith. Whereas it's definitely not a honeymoon year for Dave Gettleman. That is for darn sure.
Yep.
And I don't think it's a honeymoon year for Joe Judge either. He had that last year when he went 6-10.
You know, I wanted to ask you something about the Falcons. Teek and I really talked about this pretty thoroughly. We had, you know, Mr. Blank on the show a couple times, and he was forthright, and he said, hey, you know, I guess everything's on the table. This was before the draft, obviously. I think you can make the case here, not that Matt Ryan can't play anymore, nobody's asserting that, but, you know, the way the first round looks now, and granted it's early, the projectability of some of these quarterbacks, I don't know if I'd feel good taking any of these kids, one, two, three, or four. The case that I'm making is, can you make the case that the Falcons messed up big time by not taking a quarterback last year based on where we anticipate them being in the draft this year and the players that are coming out this year?
Well, I asked Arthur Smith that the night of the draft. I was in Atlanta. And he said, in essence, that he believes that Matt Ryan has several more good years left, and he does not see it as one of the bigger needs on his team. The problem when you take a quarterback in the first round right now is that you can't, when you think about it, you can't sit back there and say, okay, we're going to let him sit for X amount of time. The reason that you can't let him sit for X amount of time is after 4 years, you got to let him go.
Yeah.
Look what happened with the Patriots and Jimmy Garoppolo. You got to make your decision on a guy. The Packers might have to do the same thing with Jordan Love. Who knows? But I can't disagree, really, with the decision that Arthur Smith made because, look, maybe in retrospect we will all disagree with it. But if Matt Ryan tells you whatever he was on draft day, 35, 36, if he tells you he's got three or four more good years, he wants to keep playing, I don't see any problem at all. Matt Ryan is not the reason why they're losing games. I mean, he threw a couple of pick sixes, but that was like that playoff game that Brett Favre threw six interceptions against St. Louis that year. And he threw all the interceptions just because he was trying to make something happen in a lost cause. And so I don't think Matt Ryan has been bad the first 2 weeks at all.
We're talking to Peter King, NBC Sports NFL analyst, and Peter's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
I think one of the, not steals, because he still was a first-rounder in this draft, was what Bill Belichick did, getting Mac Jones, who's looked really good. And now he's got talent around him, unlike Zach Wilson and even Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, for so long we've had this debate, whether it's real or not, but it's rhetoric, that, you know, the Patriots are only the Patriots because of Tom Brady, or maybe it's because it's Bill Belichick. It feels like Mac Jones gives us a real opportunity to see. And when I say Bill Belichick, I mean his coaching staff, and specifically I'm talking Josh McDaniels. Mac Jones looks really good for a kid that a lot of people didn't even know before the beginning of last season.
Oh, that's, you know, you're right. And so you have to think right now when you when you start talking about Mac Jones, you have to think that Mac Jones was so impressive in the offseason and in the summer that Belichick and Josh McDaniels looked at each other and basically said, we're fine and we're willing to cast our lot with an unproven quarterback in a year that we really think that we have an opportunity to make the playoffs. So, and I think they were right. I think they made the right call. Look, of all the quarterbacks this year, and that includes Trevor Lawrence, I would make the point that Mac Jones is probably most ready to play in the NFL because of the offense he comes from, number one, and number two, his intelligence and his preparedness at Alabama. Will he turn out to be a real good pro? I don't know. But I think he really has the wherewithal, and he had the training to play early on in the NFL.
Yeah, and they're also not asking him to do a whole lot. I mean, poor Zach Wilson.
It's the perfect situation.
Exactly. That's why they're a smart organization, and until further notice, the Jets and the Jaguars are not, because they're asking their guys to throw it downfield with no protection.
Go ahead. The problem with the Jets, in my opinion, is that they did not backstop Zach Wilson with a veteran quarterback.
Agreed.
I mean, they 5 minutes into the second half, that ridiculous interception that he threw to Devin McCourty, in which Devin McCourty was the only jersey in sight who could have caught the ball. There was no Jet nearby. That was a sign. That was kind of a cry for help. Get me out of here. And I'm sure Zach Wilson is not saying that, but
no,
that's what it appeared like on TV. And to me, I just think I still have not heard even a remotely logical explanation why somebody from Western Kentucky, who I've never heard of, is the only backup quarterback on that active roster.
It makes no sense. With a rookie coach, rookie coordinator, I totally agree. I actually tweeted that the other day. I'm with you. Peter, got about 30-ish seconds. Can you give us the most up-to-date Saints situation, like still displaced? When will they be back in their own homes, in their own facility? What are the Saints looking at this week, for example? Did we lose Peter? We may have lost him. Damn, wanted to get that answer.
Yeah, it's a good question, because we don't know. And we hit that a little bit earlier too, about how it's understandable that the Saints galvanized around themselves for Week One and beat the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
But go ahead.
Go ahead, Peter.
Sorry, guys. I was just going to say, when they come back from New England, they are hoping if the city of New Orleans says that they're not going to take too many resources away from them. They're hoping to just go back to New Orleans after this game against New England on Sunday and just continue their season as it should have been, as usual. But they're probably not going to know that definitively until this weekend.
That's a great update. That's the first time I've actually heard it that direct. Really good info on that. Peter, we've got to go. We're up against it. And as always, really good intel. I'm sure we'll be catching up during the season. We always do. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Peter.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. That's oh man, I hope that happens for the Saints.
That's just
get
hard.
Back in your own bed.
Just think about that. Family. Like how hard that is. Ugh. The first 3 weeks of the season. It's just unfair. I mean, the fact that they got a win, and then granted, it was a home game, although it was played in
Jacksonville. Yep.
It's still pretty miraculous, seriously, considering how displaced they've been for a month now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was about a month ago.
Yeah, it's been about a month now. And preparing for, and then they had the COVID outbreak, which is 100% associated with the fact that they're displaced and in an odd and, you know, weird environment.
100%.
Not in their own homes.
Agreed.
Not in their own facility. Well, not being able to adhere to the same protocols that they have been adhering to for over a year now, going back to the start of the pandemic in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It all's tied together. Like the fact that they got beat up last weekend.
To be expected.
Exactly.
Eight coaches not available.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Peyton's good. He's not an octopus. He doesn't have eight arms where he can, or 10, or how many? Eight arms, right? Octopus, eight. What am I saying? I love eating octopus. Grill it up, a little lemon. Mm.
Well, the problem is olive oil. Now that we eat, it's only rings.
That's true. Yeah. Get that grilled. It's the best. The Niners and their quarterback situation. We'll get to that coming up next. Third hour, Tiki and Tierney.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.